Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
No hound dog. They could have helped me. But the Lord is with us. He's on our side. He's leading us and guiding us. And He will provide. Isn't that right? Thank God for His goodness. I know we prayed, but let me pray. You pray, I'll pray. Father, we thank You for the Holy Ghost, and I thank You for utterance by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we look to You this morning to live big in us and to think through my mind and speak through my lips as the very oracles of God, so that Your will, Your plan, and Your purposes can take place and come to pass in this earth. And Father, in advance, we'll be careful to give You the glory, the honor, and praise for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord is with us. He's on our side. He's leading us and guiding us today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Kind of change a little bit direction from where we've been going yesterday morning and last night. Of course, tonight, as far as I know, the Lord willing, we'll be back into that particular subject again, talking about that and about the things discerning the signs of the time and understanding the signs of the time. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen," or you could say perceived, "by the physical senses. For by it what? Faith. The elders obtained a good report." We can know this, that faith always has a good report, even though that the circumstances may look negative, we'll always have a good report. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." But it says here in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So it's good to have hopes. It's good to have dreams. It's good to have ideas. And it's good maybe even to want something. But just having dreams, hopes, and ideas or wants is not going to cause it to come to you in your life. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance." You could say faith is the vehicle. You could say faith is the means or the avenue or the way that the things of God, out of God's Word, come to pass in my life. How do we know that? The Bible says so. So what we must do is exercise our faith if we are going to have what we need in our life. So what am I talking about this morning? I'm going to talk about exercising your faith in the area of finances. Is that all right? M-O-N-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E. Y'all call him Mickey Mouse, but that rat has made more money than any rat I know of. I call him Money Mouse. I don't know. But that rat's made some money in his lifetime. But God is concerned about our financial condition in our life, and He wants our needs to be met. But just because the Lord wants our needs to be met and give us the desires of our heart, and just because you want your needs to be met and you want the desires of your heart, does not mean that it's going to happen. There is an ingredient that I must exercise, that the Christian must exercise, if I'm going to have the things of God in my life. And that ingredient, that key ingredient, according to the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is faith. Amen. So we must understand faith and the operation of faith and how it works in our life. But the reason I'm talking about faith for finances, exercising our faith for finances or faith for money, is because we live in times that many people have lost their jobs. Many companies are collapsing. You know, many people are going under. We have banks failing all across the United States of America. I mean, just my home state of Georgia, even though I live in Oklahoma now, in my home state of Georgia, I was hearing a report recently about how many banks just this year have collapsed and failed. And then a local bank that we bank with, what I mean local, they're local to the Tulsa area. It's out of Claremore, out of the home, is called RCB Bank. They just bought out a bank that collapsed, a whole chain of banks that just collapsed just recently. And of course, what they done is they actually kept the banks from failing and collapsing because they stepped in because they have plenty of capital. They didn't take any governmental money or any money to bail out from any kind of situation because they didn't need it. They managed their affairs wisely. And we need to learn to manage our affairs wisely. But there's banks that's going under everywhere. And if we don't watch it, we'll have a tendency to look at what's going on in the world and develop a sense of fear about the things of God. Well, fear and faith are opposite, and both of them attract something. I said fear and faith are opposite, and both of them attract things to you. What Satan's kingdom, the two kingdoms that's at work in this earth, there's one kingdom called the kingdom of God. It operates by one principle and one principle alone. The kingdom of God operates by one principle and one principle alone. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual kingdom that's here in this earth now, operates by one principle and one principle alone, and it is the principle of faith. Whatever you will believe God for based on His Word, then His kingdom will provide it for you. And so we must understand that. There's another kingdom called the kingdom of darkness, which is Satan's kingdom. That kingdom operates by one principle and one principle alone. It is called the principle of fear. Whatever Satan can get you to fear, he will bring to pass in your life. So the whole environment today, what I mean environment, I'm not talking about the physical, just physical things. I'm talking about the spiritual and natural world that we live in today is conducive to producing fear in you. Almost every newspaper you read, every email you read that people send you and forward this to this, and if you don't forward that, you're going to die in 3 days. You know, all those kind of things, you know, something you never seen. And then you get on the news, you know, and you see the news channels and they're prophesying doom and gloom. And then you want to go get the shovel, you know, and dig a hole up under the tater bin, not into the tater bin, but underneath the tater bin, and so that you can go hide because you think the whole world is coming to an end. And if you don't watch it, you'll destroy. Transfer yourself out of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness through the principle of fear. So what we don't want to do is get into fear in this day and hour that we live in. Certainly we don't deny that the conditions are there. Certainly we don't deny that economic conditions look gloom and they look doom. But I'm here to tell you, I'm in this world and so are you, but you're not of the world. This world does not control nor dominate you, nor does the economic conditions of this world dominate you. If you will live according to the principles of God's Word, you will rise above everything that's going on in this life, and the blessings of God will come upon you in a supernatural way. When all around you is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, you can stand. The Bible says 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand in Psalms 91, but it shall not come near you. Well, is the Bible telling the truth or is it lying? Does the Bible mean what it said or does it not mean what it says? Yes, it means what it says. So if those things are going to happen, it's going to happen through the principle of faith because that's how God's kingdom operates. But again, the principle of fear is how Satan's kingdom operates. And Satan wants to get you to a place of fear, yes, as a born-again Christian. He wants you meditating on the bad things. He wants you meditating on what the news people are saying about how bad economically it is and how many jobs have been lost and how these companies are collapsing, going under, and how banks are failing and our monetary system is failing. And people are going out and buying gold. And I'm not against gold. If you dig some up, bring me some. We'll share it. No, I'm not against gold, but I'm telling you, even gold is not going to help you in the end. The only thing that's going to help you is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt and all the bad things begin to happen in Egypt and all the plagues begin to happen in Egypt? The children of God were in the land of Goshen, they called it. And not one bad thing happened to them because they kept seeking God. They kept serving God. And God made special provision for them in the land of Egypt when everybody else was doing without. They didn't have water to drink because the water had been turned to blood. All the food had been depleted because all the grasshopper or locust ate everything up. Well, I'm here to tell you, God's children did not do without. And God's children do not have to do without today. But we must stay in the element and principle of faith. But again, Satan's kingdom operates by the principle of fear. So before we talk about faith, let's talk about fear and how it works and how it operates. Turn in your Bible to Job. In fact, Job has probably made more people poor than anybody else in the Christian world. Because everybody goes back and reads about poor old Job and how he lost everything that he had. And how God took everything away from him, and God made him poor, and so now we got to be poor. And people that believe that and say that and think that don't even know what the Bible says. They've never read it and studied it. God did not take anything away from Job. Job lost everything because of one principle and one principle alone, the principle of fear. And we're going to show you in your Bible, you're going to look yourself, and you will see that God did not take one thing from Job. And a lot of people think that God was sicking the devil on Job. Go get him. Go get him. Go get Job. Tear him up. No. God is not a sadist. And God is not out to bring pain and inflict pain in your life. God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. When God told the devil, when he came before him about Job, he said, everything he has is in your power. God wasn't turning Job over to him at that particular moment in time. What happened is, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, Satan had an inroad into this earth, and ever since then, according to the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking him he may devour. How can he devour somebody? Somebody that's operating in the principle of fear, because that's how his kingdom operates. Have you got to Job yet? Let me see if I can find it. Where's Job at in the Bible anyway? She said 571 on her pages there. If you just find the book of Psalms and put it in reverse and start backing up, just don't go real fast, you'll find Job. Now let's turn to Job chapter 1 and let's talk about and examine the principle of fear and this. Show you from the Word of God, not from me, but from what the Bible says, the reason that Job lost everything that he had. Because if we follow the example of Job here, then we're going to get the same results that Job got and lose everything we got too. Everything we have. But we're not going to lose everything we have. We're going to stay in the truth. Another thing is, the whole book of Job here, scholars say, and because I'm not a scholar, I just have to listen to what they say. Whole book of Job only lasted about 9 months. And then Job was restored how much back? How much back? Huh? What? How much did he get back? He got restored double, I think. Isn't that right? Everything that he lost, it came back to him many, many times over because he got out of the principle of fear and he got into the principle of faith. And so in Job chapter 1, let's look and see how and why Job lost everything he had. What are we examining Job chapter 1 for? We can examine many areas of the Bible, and there's many other scriptures in the Bible, but this is just a good, solid example of how Satan's kingdom operates in this earth. And it's one of the first insights we have in the Bible of how this principle of fear operates. Remember, we're looking for the principle of fear and how if you get into fear, then the things that you fear, Satan will bring to you in your life and he will cause them to happen. Why? Because his kingdom operates by one principle, the principle of fear. God's kingdom operates by the principle of faith. And so in Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. It says, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let me stop with verse 1 and make a few comments here, where we can get all this in context. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You can be right today and wrong tomorrow. I said, you can be right today and wrong tomorrow. You can be upright today, and you can be in faith today, but you can get in fear tomorrow if you don't stay in the Word of God. You understand? So it's talking about that Job was a man of principle. He was a man that sought God. He was a man that loved God. But you can be right in one area and wrong in another. So what we want to do is stay balanced and stay right in every single area. So there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. That makes 10 children total. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. In other words, he was the greatest of everything. He was one of the wealthiest men of all the men of the East. Well, why was this man this way? Why did verse 3 take place in his life? Because of verse 1. You have to see that principle.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.